This is Dave Nadler with Fourthstream.com. Together, we're taking on the distractions of our lives and making room for consistent connection with Jesus. I'm sure, like me, you want to hear, way to go. You beat the odds. So thanks for joining me today as we enhance our connection with our Father. This is out of Matthew 23, and it's an interesting teaching because Jesus is explaining what is going to happen in the future. And I'm excerpting part of it, beginning with chapter 23, verse 37, where Jesus looks over the city, the holy city of Jerusalem, and says this, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So in this prophetic statement, Jesus is explaining both his compassion, but also just the reality of the Jewish nation, because he knows that he's being rejected by them. So he moves from this situation in Jerusalem and comes out of the temple, because apparently this happened in the temple, according to Matthew 23. And that begins in Matthew 24. "Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down.' As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives," and the Mount of Olives is interesting because that's where Jesus will return, according to Zechariah 14, and he will split the mountain down the middle. And it's no small mountain, by the way, if you've ever seen it or pictures of it. "As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?' So Jesus answers them and says, 'See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, I am the Deliverer, I am the Christ, and they will mislead many. You're also going to hear about wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you're not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. Because nation is going to rise against nation." Does this sound familiar? "And kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another." Not a very pretty picture, is it? "In addition," verse 11, "many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased," check this out, "most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel, this good news of the kingdom, shall be preached in the entire earth as a testimony to all the nations. And then, my friends, the end will come." I try to imagine the disciples taking all of this in, because he's putting together many things that they knew from the law and the prophets that they had grown up listening to, but now they were seeing the fulfillment of it. Pretty amazing. So this continues now in verse 15 of chapter 24. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place," and it says, "let the reader understand." And if you have never read about this in the book of Daniel, you'll have to look a little bit for it. I could tell you what chapter it's in, but it's such a great book, I don't want to limit you in any way, shape, or form. But the abomination of desolation is something that is incredibly important historically, but also with regard to the end of the age. Verse 16, "Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and whoever's on a housetop must not go down to get the things that are in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his coat. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days." Tough times. "But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, or ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the chosen ones, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here's the Messiah,' and 'Here he is,' don't believe them. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders." Wow, imposters. so as to mislead, if possible, even the chosen ones. Behold, I have told you in advance what's going to happen. So if they say to you, behold, he's in the wilderness, don't go out. Or behold, he's in the inner rooms, don't believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. And wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Now the good part, the good news part. Because everything's got to, the bad news has to end for the good news to come, right? But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Wow. And then the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels, and with a great trumpet, they will gather together his chosen ones from the four winds, from one end of the sky to another. Pretty cool, really. And inscrutable in a lot of ways. So I've got to look at it today, and you and I can look at it together and go, okay, well, what do I take away today? Well, first of all, Jesus is incredibly compassionate of the human condition. He really is attempting to gather chicks under his wings to protect us. And he understands everything we feel, fulfilled hopes, unfulfilled dreams, pain, all of the different things that come into the human experience. He is incredibly compassionate of your situation and of your condition. Second of all, Jesus has plainly told us what's going to happen. We're not in the dark. Of all people, we know the end from the beginning. And that is incredibly comforting. You know, it's not like anything is going to take us by surprise. Finally, when I look at this passage in Matthew 23 and 24, faith in life is not without its reward. The choices that you and I make today will enrich our tomorrow as our Creator and His Son are honored through our living in this fallen world. So what's the upshot of it for me today? Well, it kind of reminds me of Romans 12. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I know that my destination is secure. Hey, thanks for joining me today and enhancing our connection with the Father. Take care, my friend. Until next time.